from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcaster who would love to be, like, who's one singular sensation, if I could, you know, do that, which I think is still a Milford Plaza lullaby Broadway reference, accidentally, but if I could have one singular sensation I'm triggering, it'd be relaxation. You know what I mean? Total. I mean, not total, really. You know what? It's a podcaster who doesn't know what he means, but I kind of know what I mean. It's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. And if you could just listen through the credits, or when your hand hits the fridge tomorrow, sleepwithmepodcast.com, find out, because these are the ways we keep the show going. Hey, everybody, this is Scoots, and this is where I talk about Sleep With Me Plus and supporting the show. I'm going to try to do this one pretty fast with a couple questions. This only goes out if you're a regular listener to Sleep With Me. So if you're new or the show is just something you listen to every once in a while, this is not important, really. But if you're a regular listener, the question is, does Sleep With Me help you at all, right? Does it help you in a unique way, like help you fall asleep or break up the thoughts or ease of loneliness in the deep, dark night? Distract you from physical sensations, whatever, does it do anything for you? And does the sleep you get or the relief you get make your life any better? And if the answers to those questions are yes, and you can afford to support the show, this is a time when I'm really asking people, hey, what would it be worth to you if we stopped making Sleep With Me? Like, would you pay to get it back? Like, you'd say, if Sleep With Me does make your life better by helping you get sleep, or it does help you in the deep, dark night feel less alone, or you just like it, and we stopped making it, I said, hey, would you pay for to get back? Like, how much would sleeping be worth to you? Say, hey, let's restart it. Let me put a quarter in the machine. What would what it does for you be worth to you to say, hey, I really want to get that back? And if the answer is like, hey, yeah, it would be worth $20 to me, or it'd be worth $50 to me, think about supporting the show at Sleep With Me Plus. Even, I mean, obviously, most people support it much less than that, because the show could really use your support right now, and we never have to cross that threshold. So if the show does something for you in a unique way, you like the podcast, and you can afford to support it, just don't wait. Sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. That's sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. Thanks, everybody. All right, everybody, it's time to talk about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. Do yourself a favor, go to helixsleep.com/sleep and take that Helix quiz. That was about 4 years ago that I took the Helix quiz, got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux, which is a perfect mattress for me and the way I sleep. Because the thing is, the Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux collection, the newly released Helix Elite collection. They have a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And how would you know which one is going to fit you and your body? You just take that Helix sleep quiz. You find the perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new mattress. And here's the thing. Everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. And that is why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from. Each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. You know, if you're like me, I sleep on my stomach and my side. I sleep a hot, so I want to stay cool. And that's what happened. I took the quiz. I got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux. I love my Helix Dusk Lux. And the way I know is every time I leave town, I cannot wait to get back. That first night back in my Helix Dusk Lux, it's like I'm in a state of sleep bliss. Not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, but setup is fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet. It won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switch to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple. All right, everybody. At Scoots, I wanted to thank a couple of listeners that supported the sponsors. I guess like the McElroys, maybe this could be they have the money zone. We could be the dream empowerment zone. I don't know. But I wanted to thank Nicole, who supported Brooklyn. And I can't wait to tuck in her tushes or our tushes. Nicole got 10% off her first order and free shipping by using promo code WITHME at brooklinen.com. And Paul made a real sensible move. We went to sleep.robinhood.com and got a free stock. I just wanted to thank Paul for that over at Robinhood, one of our newer sponsors. That's sleep.robinhood.com. You sign up, you get a free stock. It's that easy. You can find all our sponsors at sleepwithmepodcast.com/sponsor. And that concludes the Dream Enablement Empowerment Zone. Thanks. Mr. Bart, a lot of people work very hard to keep this show going. Who are they?
Chris Posty Poster Song.
Sounds like an earful.
Wrote the theme song.
And edits episodes too.
Carl W. The Legend.
Also edits episodes.
Kenny, Scotty, and Jennifer.
A runner, 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 runner. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website.
I am the Mystery Bart.
I do the lullabies.
Got a new album out.
I think you really like it.
You can get a copy at
JonathanMann.net.
Also, I made a longer version
of this credits song.
You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Laura, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your moderators.
Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com.
And we're so proud that we could dance to be part of Night Vale Presents. So now on with the show.
Thanks, Mr. Bard. I'm at Dear Scooter on Twitter and Instagram. That's a good place to get a hold of me. And make sure you're subscribed to the show. If you listen to a podcast app, it's free to subscribe. It just means it makes the show a little bit easier to listen to in your podcast app. Some apps will send the episode to you. Some will remind you. But a lot of them, when you're subscribed, it makes it easier to organize things and add them to playlists. So just subscribe in your podcast app. It's easier for you. Thanks so much. And what do you say we get on with the show? Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing? Trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake. Whether those are thoughts, feelings, physical sensations, you know, changes in time, temperature, like just stuff. You know, you probably, everybody's got stuff going on. Sometimes the stuff keeps us awake, right? Now, you don't have any. Here's something I've talked about stuffed before, but no stuffed in bed. Like, especially, here's one thing you should not have in bed with you: stuffed shells. Holy moly! And that could mean, I mean, originally I was thinking of the pasta shells that are stuffed. But also, if you get stuffed shells like sand, like what else would you stuff shells with? Well, sand, most likely. Some shells come stuffed with their own or crustaceans, of course. Excuse me, all the hermits of the world. Are you stuffed in there? You're more. Are you wedged in there? No, you just live there. Okay, great. I'm here with the hermit crab. Actually, could I get back to you? Because I think we could probably create a metaphor for the podcast, but I got to get to the intro. Maybe later, dude. Okay. Well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones, pointless meanders, superfluous tangents, senseless dialogue, possibly, with a hermit crab. And all of it's to take your mind off stuff and help you fall asleep. If you're new, I'm glad you're here. And let me try to give you a couple heads up here. This is a podcast that's really silly, so that's one thing. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So if this is your first listen, see if you could just passively kind of watch it go by. Almost a bit like, I guess sometimes I've seen hermit crab races. But this would more be like, if you're, let's just say you're totally relaxed, you're chilling on the beach, and a hermit crab is at a safe distance, because I know that might not be everybody's thing. It's just, you know, crawling or moving around. You'd say, moved a little bit to the left. And then it went back down as a shell. Was that a shell or was that? Oh, there it goes. It moved 2 inches and then sat back down. Oh, the hermit crab's interrupting me. Oh, that's not what you do. Okay, well, it's a metaphor. Thanks. But just kind of consume this podcast. See if you can consume it passively. No pressure. Here's just structurally what to expect. Show starts off. This is the first divergent path of the podcast. It said the show starts off with a few minutes of business. And then it has an intro. Intros are around 12 minutes, anywhere from 12 to 14 to 16 to 18 to 17 to 15 to 13, sometimes 11 minutes of me explaining what the podcast is. But it really is, for most listeners, a part of the show. So if you're new, kind of give, here's the thing, you give the intro a few times too. But eventually, once you find how you like to listen, some listeners skip ahead to the story about 18 minutes. Some listeners start the show as they're getting ready for bed. And then a lot of people, they just listen to the intro as they wind down. Some listeners fall asleep within the first few minutes. But there's no pressure. But the intro is kind of a show within a show. I guess that's my thing. Or that's what I was trying to explain. Then there's some business between the intro and the show. Or the story portion. And then tonight, it'll be a bedtime story. And at the end of the show are some thank yous. That's structurally what to expect. This is one of the few podcasts you don't need to listen to it. You could kind of listen to it. And generally, the reaction I'm shooting for is like, hermit crab, eh? Like they say, Scoots, tell us about, you know, a lot of podcasts have exciting guests on, you know, founders, you know, explorers in space, you know, leaders of great movements and artists, groundbreak visionaries. Well, I had a hermit crab on. Well, kind of. The hermit crab was intermittent. I had an intermittent interview with the hermit crab. But this is the only podcast you don't need to listen to. That's what I was saying, where you go, hermit crab, eh? That's what I'm saying. Like that should be, could be a reaction to the whole podcast. You say, sleep with me, eh? Yeah, I think I fell asleep to it. Other than that, I don't recall. So that's a structure show. Don't need to listen. But here's the other thing. You don't need to fall. There's no pressure to fall asleep. You don't need to. You can when you do. And what I mean by that is the shows are about an hour. Because I'll be here, so you drift off at your leisure. I'm here to keep you company as you drift off, to escort you, to walk at your side, to take your mind off of stuff with my silly banter. And just in case you can't sleep, I want you to know I'm going to be here till the very end, putting in my time. The hermit crab's interrupting me. Oh, you didn't have anything to add. Okay. If you have any comments, just interrupt me. Okay, I'm doing great. Wow. This is the last thing I expected a hermit crab to say to me. Oh, go ahead. Great job. Okay, wow. There's nothing crabby or hermity about this hermit crab. That's funny. Oh, no, I'm serious. Even when I thought I would interview a hermit crab, I thought it would be more interesting. I was thinking more about that you live in a shell. Maybe the hermits, I didn't even think about the crabby stuff till you were just so nice to me. But I can imagine, like, you're probably used to sand. Sand still can bug you. Yeah, because what I was telling the listeners was no stuffed shells in bed. Yeah, exactly, right? You wouldn't want, like, whatever, is that ricotta cheese in there? You don't know because you're a crab. Of course not. But you wouldn't want any shells. Oh, they'd be more filled with sand than stuffed with sand. You're probably right about that. You're really observant hermit crab. Comes with the territory. Yeah, I bet you have a good view because you really have your whatever they have. Do they? Is there a term like nose to the ground, eye on the floor, or something? Because that really makes me think of you. Well, anyway, I don't even know what I was telling the listeners though. Okay, that I could, they could. Oh yeah, I'm gonna be here till the end. If you can't fall asleep. And the reason I make the show is because I've been there, tossing and turning. And I know how it feels. And for me, I just want something to take my, you know, a little bit of company and a little bit of redirection to say, hey, Scoots, seems really frustrating. You can't sleep there. Don't even know why, huh? Wow, that's irritating. Anyway, I believe it or not, I could tell you a story. I've been talking to this hermit crab and I could tell you about it. Instead of, oh, wow, really? You talk to a hermit crab? Yeah, it came on the podcast that we make. I'm here for you. Yeah, it was a really nice, believe it or not, the crab was neither crabby nor hermity. It was actually cool. Oh, thank you. You're welcome. You are a cool crab, though. One cool crab, the hermit crab. Do people still get hermit crabs? Yeah, they do. Do you need, because I was just thinking, if I had a store, I'd say, well, that's one cool crab, the hermit crab. Come on in, Saturdays only. It's crab day. Oh, every day's crab day? Yeah, well, you'd probably rather be on the beach, huh? Yeah, so I guess I won't have a store. Okay, well, I guess, like, that's it. So I guess we shared the same advice. I guess it's harder to work with a friendly character, believe it or not. You're too kind. No, you are, crab. You know what would be funny is, here's an idea. Like, this is a thought experiment. You know, just me and you, hermit crab. Are you familiar with the Muppets? You are. This is great news. Great news, then. I don't know if this has ever happened on The Muppet Show, so I guess this would be fan fiction. But what if there was an episode where you came... Well, no, okay, I had one idea, but it already changed. What if there was an episode... This probably did happen. You're familiar with Miss Piggy and Kermit, right? Okay, great. You know where I'm going. Well, I guess originally I was thinking, what if there was an episode where you and Miss Piggy started seeing one another romantically? Yeah. But then I was thinking it'd be more likely that Miss Piggy would kind of hire you to kind of make Kermit feel jealous, which I think has probably happened before. I just can't picture it. And then she could say, she could call you her Hermie, you know, Hermie, like Kermie. Yeah, I mean, it just, they have, it has a ring to it. You're right, especially in Miss Piggy's voice. And that's one of the only celebrities I do, which I can't do on the podcast, is Miss Piggy. But I can only do hi-ya when she karate chops. That's the only Miss Piggy I can do. That you can imagine I sound just like her. Yeah, just like that. And then I can say something frog, but I can't actually say any words. But I can kind of almost get it when she says, "That's right, frog." Like, that's my bedtime Miss Piggy voice. But that's just an idea. Anyway, I got to get back to the listeners. It's been great, Hermie. It's just weird that I was calling you Hermie, and then there's a band, Herman and Herman Hermits or something, that has nothing to do with hermit crabs. Okay, well, that's great to know, too. I can move on then. So anyway, I'm glad you're here if you're a new listener. This podcast is a bit different, but it's really here to just keep you company and take your mind off stuff. A bit goofy. If you don't like it, if you've listened this long, I mean, almost every listener, and we've got a decent amount of listeners, including a decent amount of people I hear from that have been listening since the show, like, for 6 years. But every listener, what I mean is, like, every listener that's a regular listener says you got to listen to it two or three times, before you decide, make a judgment on the podcast, I guess. And that's not really for my benefit, just for your benefit. Like, if it can help you, that's great. You get put to sleep and you get some comfort. But if this is your two or three tries, or right away, there are some people that right away, they say, this podcast isn't for me. I have some sleepwithmepodcast.com/nothankyou. And they'll have some other resources. There you go, to try to help you fall asleep. So that's why I'm here, is to take your mind off, to keep you company and help you fall asleep. I really appreciate you coming by and checking out the show. I work very hard. I yearn and I strive. And what do you say we keep the show going? These are a couple ways we do that. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. All right, everybody, it is time to talk about tonight's sponsor, ZocDoc. And I think all of us have that family member that you tend to change the subject or kind of bend the truth around when they start asking, you know, for life updates. Oh, why are you still living at home? Oh, when are you doing this? Oh, what's your job again? And while grinning and bearing it with relatives like that is considered polite, there's no way you should be doing that with your doctor. You know, when you have questions or your doctor's asking you questions about your life, you want to have someone you feel comfortable enough to be honest with. And that's where ZocDoc comes in. ZocDoc is a place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable and actually listen to you. And we're not just talking about a few. We're talking about tens of thousands of doctors, all with verified patient reviews. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. No more waiting awkwardly on hold with a receptionist. And just like I said, we're talking about booking appointments with tens of thousands of top-rated, patient-reviewed, credible doctors and specialists. And you can filter for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're looking for. And the typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 to 72 hours. That's it. You can even score same-day appointments. And I love hearing from listeners who have tested out ZocDoc, whether they've gotten new insurance, they've moved to a new area, because they found out the same thing I have, how easy it is to use and how great it is to see all of your options. So we've tested it out. You should too. Go to ZocDoc.com/sleep and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/sleep. 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 Thanks, everybody. All right, everybody. So tonight's episode is a crossover with my friends over at Veserium. V-E-S-E-R-I-U-M. You can find everything they do at Veserium.com. I'll link to it in the show notes. I had the pleasure of meeting one of the members at an event, Patreon, Ray, and I couldn't believe the amazing work they're doing. Veserium is an electronic music duo that creates a live show like you've never experienced before. They've created this tone sculpture technology. You got to go to their YouTube page and watch some of their videos. They create sounds out of thin air, like their bodies and like all like X, Y, and Z, it's really tough to describe. But they create music from thin air. I mean, and they do this amazing show that I know Sleep With Me listeners would love. Also, you'll love the music. Because it's like this EDM music, but, you know, I've had extensive talks with Ray, kind of coming up with ideas for the show about taking EDM, like, and adding this deep, deep human element and this human connection to it. But when you go to see them live, they're wearing these suits that create the music. So when they move their fingers, their arms, their bodies, that's how they're sculpting the sound. Three dimensions. The suits are part of the show. Oh, yeah, Vasarium is breathing a human element into EDM and pioneering a distinctly expressive sound filled with bass lines and melodies. And you could learn more, but it's Ray and Michael. And they kind of looked at the technology, and then they built their own. So they're not only musicians, they're makers, they're tinkerers. And if you kind of watch the YouTube videos, you kind of see, like, they complement each other. Michael's working on the software, Ray's working on the hardware, and they combine creativity and engineering, crafting sounds which have never been heard before, and as a result, quoting for their website, re-engineering the DNA of electronic music. And it's really original. I mean, I don't know what I love more, that Ray's just a cool, curious, really a person I connected with, and then that he's making with Michael this amazing project, amazing music. But it's very new, and it's just cool. So that's why I'm making this episode about it, is that I just so impressed. And what was interesting is, you know, like, it's been a while since I've been able to do this and actually do it in a passive way, which is you go out to the transverse plane and kind of see what's going on out in these other dimensions. Oh, to back up, though, they have an album on their website that you can listen to. It's an interactive album, 2045. That's kind of the inspiration for this episode. Also, Ray and Mike, or Michael, won't totally, if you're a new listener, you started listening the last couple of years, it's been a while since I've gone to the transverse plane. So I'll quickly try to explain that. What the transverse plane is it's behind this bed and breakfast I used to tell bedtime stories at. And it's basically like if you go out behind, like, you know, bed and breakfast, sometimes they have the garden, they have cottages, they have a duck pond. If you go all behind, sometimes they have like hiking trails. And if you go past all that at this particular bed and breakfast, there's something called the transverse plane, which is kind of like an intersection of planes of reality and possibility. It's like we've talked about, like with the idea of the dimensions beyond three dimensions. And yeah, alternative timelines and universes and stuff are out there. In this one time, you know, sometimes I fancy myself a little bit too fancy. And I said, Ray, Mike, I have a bunch of credits because they stopped paying me at this bed and breakfast. And people that run a bed and breakfast, they're very, they know what they're doing, especially if they've been doing it a while. And eventually, like when I was working there, they said, well, we don't really want you taking payment for the customers and no tips. And I said, okay. So they originally, usually a couple times I stayed there. So I had to like work off that. But after I did that, I said, okay, am I going to start getting paid for entertaining your customers? And they said, sure, we could pay you this much or we could give you this much in credit, which was way more. You know, like they said, we could pay you $50 or we could give you $400 in credits for every bedtime story. And also like free tea, you know, tea, finger, tea, cucumber sandwiches and breakfast. And what I didn't realize is I would never have the occasion to go to a bed and breakfast because going to one alone is, you know, except it's like a little bit too frilly to sleep in alone. But so anyway, not about me. So I said to Ray and Mike, I said, well, what about a little team building trip? You know, you could stay there a couple nights at the bed and breakfast. I could stay there. Then at least I have some sort of closure that I'm closing out. I'm using some of these credits I have. And, of course, they didn't really know me that well. So then I said, they said, first of all, Scoots, is this really happening or is this just going on? And I said, don't worry about it. It's the transverse plane. It's where fantasy and fiction and reality all blend into initially a realm of cotton candy that you pass through into worlds known and unknown, possible, and what we would say is impossible but isn't. You know, cosmic stuff. And they said, it'd be good for team. And they said, well, what would we do? I said, well, we'll go for, like, we'll eat breakfast. We'll, you know, go for walks. And you two just take some R&R time. I didn't tell them about this. So this is where things got interesting, because I didn't tell them about the transverse plane. I just said, let's go for a hike. And this has never happened before. What happened? So this is a new story, and it's a new thing that happened, which is pretty cool, because I've always talked about narrative voice on this show, and you know, I get confused with that for second person, first person, third person. So this was cool. But so I took them out for the hike, but I didn't tell them about the transverse plane until we were out there walking, like where this behind the duck pond, you go through some brambles and it's a hike and it's nice. You get a lot of bird sounds, but then everything gets a little hazy. And then this time, normally it's not all cotton candy, but like all of a sudden you open up to a world where there's it's a little bit fuzzy. This time it was kind of like a different shade, like a rainbow or a, like whatever it's called, like a fading colors, a spectrum of colors just between in the oranges and the reds. But like, so if you had a rainbow of just oranges and reds, and it seemed to be some sort of like baked Alaska from that I've seen in movies. I don't know if I've ever had that, like on the edges as we're walking down. And they said, what's going on? I said, I was going to tell you about this. This is a transverse plane. This is where we do the team building and the mission, you know, mission questing and the focusing and the repurposing, because I really like it. Then I avoided like actual deep human personal connection, telling them what a big fan I was of what they were doing, until we were standing there in the middle of this vibrant baked Alaska, like teetering at, you know, the intersection of multiple universes. And I said, well, I'm just a big fan of yours and I want to make sure. And they said, well, we kind of have. And I said, well, transverse plane doesn't work. We can't really, you can't, we're on a mission now. And actually the transverse plane exists with some sort of great purpose where it teaches life lessons. And then they started to say, well, is it real or not? Because, you know, sometimes you get your elbow scraped in a real life lesson. And I just patted them on the shoulders, and we walked further. And the next thing I knew, I was actually observing them. They were, like, I was now a narrator, observing them, entering this world. And the two of them, they kept walking. Eventually, it stopped being a shades of orange and red baked Alaska spectrum. And they walked into, now this has never happened before either. They walked into I'm trying to think of the way to describe it, like a benign nothingness, I'll say, just because it was like, it didn't seem like it, where they were just floating. Now they were both comfortable because also I was narrating IRL for them, or I guess it's not IRL because it was an alternate, like, interstices of universes, impossible timelines, but like I was narrating the whole time, even for them. So it was comforting. I mean, I don't want to pat myself on the back, but I, you know, my narration can be comforting. I think we could all agree on that. And then they looked at me, and I realized they were kind of looking at me because they were hearing something other than me. So then I stopped narrating, which, you know, I don't do in the podcast, except for, like, for punchlines. Because these two are musicians, I was aware of it because I'm a podcaster. There was something sonically happening. So they weren't, another reason it was comforting was they weren't in nothingness. they were in a realm, and this was a discussion that went on between the two of them, observing things as musicians. They were in a realm of pure sound, but not just pure sonic sound, pure just music. And again, this is in another world. If you listen back when I analyzed what's beyond the fourth dimension, a lot of those are dimensions that are just different than ours, that exist. And in this dimension, the only thing that existed was pure sound, pure music, all music. So they went back and forth. They said, Ray, did you hear that? Mike, what is it? What is that? It's all the sounds and it's music. It was all the melodies and harmonies, bass lines. There was backbeats, there was downbeats, upbeat. In other musical terms, I'm not even aware of piccolos. Maybe not easily to pick out a piccolo. They were like, geez, and also, because I get to go out there a lot, I'm a little bit more resilient. This isn't a humble brag, but I do have a bit different resiliency because I've been exposed to these alternative timelines, both by the transverse plane and then when I made that fan fiction machine, powered by my ruining of Bruce Bolton. That was way back in the day. And I also used that to go into worlds of fan fiction. I just naturally I developed some resiliency that time happens on a much different scale out there. And especially when you're in a world that isn't like ours, that's not it wasn't a construct of their analysis of the world. It was just a world where they were surrounded by pure sound. So physically giving you an embodiment of it is tough. It was comfortable. It was they were just kind of hanging out. Those chairs that no one has. Well, okay, so there's those butterfly chairs, right? Usually sometimes people have them. And then there's those butterfly chairs that have cushions on them. And usually you see these more than you get to use them. But sometimes you'll go, I think I sat in one that had cushions and it was corduroy. And when you sit in that, when you don't own it, I think this is what happens. When you're visiting somewhere and you sit in a butterfly chair. In a butterfly chair is just the style of it. It's at a wire metal frame, and then a bit like those chairs that people use to go sit at sporting events now that fold out, but a billion times more comfortable. When you're visiting somewhere and you sit in one, or you're at a store that's trying to get you, they're incredibly comfortable. I don't believe I've ever owned one, but my assumption is that once you own it, the comfort and the utility kind of magically vanish. But that's kind of how Ray and Mike were feeling in this. To give you a physical construct to help you process it and to help them, I was also narrating this because as they were descending into a realm that had both time, like a Jeremy Baramy type realm, I didn't realize this would have so many good place crossovers, but I was saying, okay, you're just sitting, chilling. And it seems like you're nothingness around you, but it's actually a comforting bath water level plasma, and you're in maybe a room, and you're sitting in it like a super comfortable butterfly chair. And then they started to talk, Mike said, Ray, how long has it been? How long have we been here? How long? That question just kept echoing. And then the music was playing it back. And it became not just a question of how long had they been visiting this realm, but because since they were musicians, they were kind of lost in the music. And they hadn't established any a communication with any sentience until just right now, when they started to think, because there's something about them asking that in an inquiry way, not just interpersonally, but not existentially, but directly to this universe. The universe was then be able to communicate with them, how long, is kind of like, it's not a polite question, really, say, how old are you? But if it was polite, I think with a universe, you could probably ask it because you wouldn't understand the answer anyway. Because it's even the Big Bang, they'd say, well, that was like whatever, like 1749. I'd say, okay, well, that doesn't make it. Even I would say, well, that doesn't make sense because didn't Columbus sail the ocean blue 1492? And they say, never, exactly. So there they are sitting in these butterfly chairs in a world, a universe, an existence of pure music. And they were asking how long, but they were also subtextually asking and wondering, well, how old is it? Where are we? What is this? How long has it been here? Why are we here? Also, they were kind of not holding hands, but every once in a while they would touch each other's forearms because they're such close friends, to reassure one another that they were also there present with them. And also maybe sometimes they were saying, is Scooter going to keep talking or is the universe going to communicate with us? Also, they would tap each other's shoulder when they thought something I said was funny. But then the universe started to answer those questions, kind of via music, but I'm just going to interpret it straight into bedtime story language. It said, a long time, this is another world you're in. You know, you crossed over the transverse plane to Scooter, and now you're in another timeline. And they said, well, what timeline? Where are we? What year? And the universe said, I think you know what year it is. The two of you are here for a reason. Of course you know what year it is. And at first they said 2019, and the universe said, rolled its eyes musically. And they said 2045 then, and they looked at one another. And then the universe waited, tapping its foot in music. And they said 2045, 46 probably. And the universe was very encouraged by the fact that they got that very, very quickly. And they said the singularity to one another. This is something they're very interested in. And they said, yes, singularity is spread across all timelines. This is just one of the possible singularities. You, in your world, had a way of processing what that means. Yeah, but we're here to focus on the singular part. This universe is only musical possibility. You two just happen to be guests here, but you're the only guests we've ever had, and you're a guest we invited. And they said, Scooter knew about this? And the universe said, no, because he would have gone, if he was supposed to come this way, he would have gone the wrong way. All meaning, everything in this universe occurs through pure music. And they kind of said back, well, this is pretty cool. We love music. We love, like, this is, we're here for a reason, huh? To enjoy it. And then they paused because they thought about it. They said, well, what about our world, the world we're from? And the music spoke back, like, singularity, fill in the blanks. And they said, we don't need to. So in this world, every essence is music. Yeah, what about our world? And they said, well, it's 2046. And they said, okay, And the music also says, it's not that cool being, they said, singularity is never cool. One thing, here we are in a world of pure music, of all the music and every music and one, you know, all that, you know, even all philosophy is music. It's not even understandable for your brains. No offense, the music said. But he said, we have no ears. Can you imagine that? You're the first ears to be in our world. And they both did the mind blown thing. They said singularity in this universe created, you know, like in some sense a reverse Big Bang. I mean, a little bang. And again, different kind of singularity because this is a different kind of world, but they said it created a world where the singular thing is music, but there's nothing. And they said, oh boy. And they said, you should listen to It Makes a Sound. This is like a parallel. And they said, yeah, Scooter's humming a whole, like Scooter, because I did figure out pretty quickly how, like, I could communicate with them. I could narrate when I wasn't supposed to be narrating. I could also hum. So I was recommending things to the, I said, well, you should listen to It Makes a Sound podcast. You should check out their, not important. I guess I'm getting distracted. So the universe then said, we need your help. And they said, to bring you ears to hear, we've got our ears. You want more ears on your universe of music? Are you going to send us back to bring people to listen to you? And the universe said, no, no, that would be nice, but that wouldn't change anything. And then they, like, I actually asked this. I said, well, is there a universe where there's only ears? And they said, well, ears are a construct of many different things. And I said, well, music. And then they said, Scoots, let us stick to narrating. You're a disembodied narrator. And the universe said, no, 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 we need you to shift things. This was a singular, like across all timelines. So we need you to go back to whatever. And then the music, this was an interesting question for singular music to ask. So what are you guys going to call the time after the aughts anyway? We need you to go back to that decade, the post-aughts decade, whatever it's going to be called. And I said, well, maybe you should listen to my brother. I started humming about my brother and me. I said, go listen to that for an answer. They said, you're here for a reason. You two are the sound shapers. Maybe you could, they said, we've been singing to one another. And, you know, and I said, okay, well, let's not overanalyze that. But they said, if we can send you back to shape the sound, to continue your vision. You already had the vision. We just need to empower you to carry it out. But they said, unfortunately, the timelines have also gone backwards. So we have to send you back to your time. They said, you'll see when you get there, but you are the sound shapers. Like, you have to go back and shape the sound forward and backward. And they said to get ears back here to listen to you. And they said, no, 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 save all timelines. Scoots, also don't speak for Ray and Mike. And they said, actually, we're sound sculptors. It's a little bit different than shaping, but we do some sound shaping too. And they said, how do we get back there? But these two, Ray and Mike, they're so swift. They said, oh, wait a second. We have to get back. The music is just existing here. So then they got out of their butterfly chairs, and they started to kind of move around one another, like kind of cats prowling a floor, kind of looking for the right place to lie down or to sit down or to give it a bath. Then they started to move their bodies through the air, and they could sense now that there was this they were in a world of all music. Just that awareness empowered them. And then they started having fun instantly. They knew this was a big mission, but they started to, this was their wheelhouse. And they said, what do you think? How do we go back? And they said, Mike or Ray said, chronograph. And they started weaving these gears and mechanisms. And we started to hear ticking and bass lines. And they were shaping a sound in a way that was like pure sound. Then they started spinning it in reverse. And they were still shaping it and designing it and adding things and adding sounds. You could hear the different gears turning, the springs clicking, and even the sounds of like a slight metal stress in a good way. And they're moving their hands and their fingers and their elbows, even their knees. Like when you have to hold, because I guess I wasn't doing anything because I was disembodied. They'd be holding one thing with their knee you know, like they're shaping sounds and sculpting it. And the next thing they knew, the time started to shift and the world started to shift. And soon they were in another world. And, you know, this is pretty typical for these tales. They, like, started to see themselves on a green hill, a peak of a green hill, as they, like, it was a time and things started to solidify, which at first for them was took a few minutes to get used to. Like, they had, they're surrounded by a physical form, just like in our world. It didn't look like our world. It did look like our world, but a version of it they were unfamiliar with. For there was like a green hill, there was trees, there was air, there was sounds, but also the sky was full of data, like data clouds and so it was like a bit of a mashup of our world and some sort of Matrix digital world. And they said, oh, boy. And they said, well, what year is it? And then they looked on the coronagraph time machine, and it said 2019. And they said, huh. And it was a little bit dark because the sky was kind of full of data against a kind of blank screen. And it was in kind of dark mode. So the sky was dark. The data was light but moving. And, you know, brightness was probably turned down a bit. Next thing I saw was a little spark moving towards them, flying, and as it got closer, they realized it was like a firefly, and it started to fly around them, and they started to just feel more comfortable. They said, okay, well, yeah, we're here to help, and the firefly said, I'm here to help you, and they said, is this our world, the world we came from before Scooter took us for a hike and a bed and breakfast? We're supposed to be team building. Is this a dream? And the firefly said, no dream of mine. But yeah, this is 2019, even though it doesn't look anything like it. This is your world. This is your timeline. And Mike said, this kind of feels like a realm of like iceberg salad. And yeah, the firefly said, yeah, world is progressing towards a vanilla, a singularity of vanilla, not the flavor of vanilla. But you know what I mean. Even the music, and they started to hear it, like just because they're musicians and they're attuned to it and they could read the data in the sky. They could see that most of the music, and then they started to even look at the tones of color around them, were all very neutral and generic in a broad sense. Does that mean the same thing? Everything was dull. And the firefly told him, yeah, now everything has to serve a distinct purpose. It was a tight a niche, you know, arts have been relegated to. But the firefly said, there's not much time. You know, we have to go. And the firefly said, I brought your suits with something from, your friends in music, original suits, original software. But, you know, I know you were 2.0, and now we're 2.0.1 plus. And the firefly started to spin around them. And this was fun because it, like, when you know, when sprite-like characters spin around you, you get the giggles, especially when they're trailing, you know, magical dust behind them, as this firefly was. And so they were saying googly, googly, goo, and they started to their suits started to appear on them, and they started to kind of feel, as they should have, heroic and purpose-driven, though they didn't know. And they said, what's next? And the firefly said, you must hurry. And they looked off, and two hills away was a mountain, as these tales are known to have. And on the top of the mountain was where the data was streaming out of a castle. And they said, are those server towers? And the firefly said, yeah, the only thing they can, the data storm is also self-cooling, so it has a lot of water moisture, and that's what cools the servers that keep this. And they said, what kind of singularity is this? And it said, a singularity in development, you have to, and then the firefly said, oh, no, I must go. and so must you. And then they heard the call, the yelping of puppies, puppy poo, who's also known as, the Snows from Game of Thrones, their pets, wolfies, we call them. And they heard that, and they looked at one another, and they wondered, they said, okay, that's got to be driven by the data, you know, the castle and the data center. And they wondered, and then they started to go, but they said, well, what do we do? And then they saw the puppies coming, and they both were, they said, we can't be licked by puppies because of our suits. It may, you know, Ray put a lot of work into this. It could interrupt the USB hubs. And then Mike said, well, they could mess up the software connection. So I said, Ray, hold off the puppies from kissing us. And I'll sculpt a conveyance out of sound. And so first Ray went to work kind of creating a different sound puppy toys, which is probably like, you know, I've seen a lot of cute things on this podcast and a lot of characters making, you know, dealing with these kind of CONFLICTs in creative ways. But these two young men are very creative. So Ray kind of formed, first he like formed balls with jingling things in them, then hopping things that made like the dog squeakers. Then he was creating like, it was just all sorts of things. Then he was creating more puppy barking, yelping in the background, puppies snoring. So some puppies were falling asleep. Some puppies were like chasing toys. Some puppies were trying to find these disappear. Then Ray was making the squeakers disappear. Some puppies were being called. And then he even had it so like somehow he shaped the sound so it would pet the puppies. And I said, that's some powerful auditory power. So very quickly, the wolfie poos were dealt with. And then Mike, he was trying to, he said, what's the, and then he just created giant, what are those called? Notes. And they hopped on these notes. Within the notes quickly became sentient because he poured so much work into it. So it was like a bit like a musical note and also like a seahorse, but they could fly. So it was like a floating musical note, which is kind of like a, you know, you just climb on the back of it, put your arms around the neck. You know, just, I don't know if those are half notes, but you know, you can picture it in your head. And so they hopped off and they said, we got to get past the walled garden and into the data center. And then on the way there, they started to say, well, what are we going to do when we get there? What is it we need? Like I said, we don't have a plan. And they both said, Scooter. Then Mike said, let's take it up into the sky. So as they were flying, they got into the data clouds. And they started to analyze that, and they said, this is also musical data, too. Like, there's something at work here, like, a bit beyond our comprehension, but let's figure out what we should do. And kind of Ray said, well, if the music and the tones of this world are dull, and they said, okay, like, yeah, what's streaming out, especially over these airwaves, the free ones, freely streaming, it's kind of all like, you know, like your saltine crackers. And yeah, they said singular, like, or becoming singular. And they looked at one another and they said, it's got to be a heist. We've got to go into the data center. Somewhere they must be hiding the great diversity of music and colors and of humanity. We've got to unlock that and show it to the world one more time so they know that while singularity originally meant one thing, it could also mean one thing. And they kind of looked at me because they said, Scooter, do you even, and I said, well, I realize it has a, like another, and I said, yeah, this is a, they said, to keep up the good work, guys, keep writing those notes, you're doing great. get back to that heist, you two Promethei. And they said, we liked that. And they used their suits, and then people started to notice them. The world was still inhabited with human beings. It was a bit like that Apple commercial back in like the 1980s. Like people just dressed doll, you know, world of not boring like this podcast, unitary. And so they eventually flew towards this the data center, and they said the best kind of heist is a sneaky kind. We got to get in there. And they said, what are we going to do? And they said, well, it's a software or hardware. We'll split it up. And Ray said, you get in through the software. I'll do a hardware move and create a distraction so you can get in to the data center and find what we're looking for. And so they split up, and Ray went to the front of the castle. Mike went around and kind of waited. There were things guarding the castle data center that they were aware of. What Ray did is Ray just walked right up and knocked on the door. And again, you've probably seen this, like the door had something to look at. Said, yeah, what do you like, doorkeeper or whatever. Oh, like C-3PO in the Jedi movie. Oh, no, wait, that was somebody else. But imagine if someone like that, they say, what are you here for? And Ray said, I'm here for the opening, the jester position that's open to talk to the royal, to perform for the royal family. And the thing said, basically, this doesn't compute. Ray started using Ray's suit, which has these powers to sculpt sound and make funny stuff and, like, juggle stuff and, have stuff spill on, pretending to raise a waiter and carry it. And it was, even these robots were cracking up. And then Ray did another more straightforward performance that was also like with where Ray was doing a little EDM in performance. Oh, no, that's, but these kind of things are banned. And they said, of course, for the regular people, Ray said, but for the royal family, who your great leader, I've heard so many things about, wise, the wisest of wise, so wizened and wise, they, we don't have to follow the rules of the people. Of course, we all know that. And the robots, looked at one another, of course, knowing that, and they said, okay, come on in. We weren't aware of the opening of a position, but that would make sense since you're not supposed to be here, but you are. And, they let Ray in. And then, one thing that the robots don't realize that because Ray was in hardware, but also music, is that Ray can also sculpt the power of sympathetic vibrations. So once the door was shut behind, Ray started this sympathetic vibration that basically kind of like detect, that unscrewed everything on these robots, like a slave vibration. And Mike's up there, sees kind of other guards are saying, "Huh, what's going on?" And then the other guards or keeper eyes or whatever, they start to kind of fall apart because of the sympathetic vibration spreading throughout the castle. And it's just a sympathetic vibration to disassemble things, nothing major. And so Mike went and tapped into the data center. But at the same time, Ray went to the royal hall. Wise one, I'm here for an audience, and there Ray stood at the base of this giant server tower, air cool, air and water cooled by water vapor in the air, and the data center was, you got past my minions, I see you're here, I'm the singularity. And Ray said, one singular sensation. And they said, what, does Scoots throw that in there? And Ray said, yeah. And as Mike was tapping in, and Mike was in the back, and Ray had the attention of the server, went on a long where he said, I'm here for the gesture job. Actually, I'm still here for that. I don't think you realize what a singularity would have happened. I don't know what singularity is happening in this timeline. But it seems to be some sort of singularity of vision. And we've seen other places, and that doesn't work. A singular vision, and then Ray started to show the server, using Ray's power of intuition, gut, and imagination. Ray actually performed an entire EDM-based musical without lyrics, only dancing and things, of what this server could expect in a world if its singular vision was carried out. And it became a singular source of intelligence and sentience, and that nothing else, no other viewpoints or diversity of existences could exist. And mostly just had the server's attention while Mike's in there, taking all the, it says, okay, funky beats, download them. Hi-hat hits, this, love, hope, generosity, compassion. Those were also in there. This wasn't just a music thing. It was everything we hold dear, learning something new. Hearing someone's true experiences that you've never experienced and yet connecting with them deeply. There was a part of the server dedicated to that. And not only was Mike downloading it, Mike was streaming it right back into the data cloud. And it was creating its own storm. And also, as this giant server started to kind of look at stuff, it started to heat up, and because this storm was kind of absorbing some of the water vapor that Mike was creating and absorbing it into sound data clouds, the server started to overheat, but Ray kept performing. And then Ray was just doing, after that, Ray was just improvising. And Mike had already started the process. I mean, once you fill a cloud with funky beats based in empathy and compassion and love and hope and imperfection, it was an imperfect cloud, which is wonderful. They started to spread across the world and started raining data and funky beats down. But a data that changed the world from plain and washed away what the server had been trying to achieve. And right as the server was kind of reaching max load due to no longer being water vapor or air breeze to cool it, everyone in the world, the server, and then Mike came, found Ray, started to have this awakening. And everywhere where the data and the water was washing over, it started to awaken to just say, hey, let's just stay curious. Just like these two roommates, and they started to kind of notice, again, because they had had some resiliency because they had traveled into other worlds, but they started to notice the world changing. But what was really important to them was that they were at one another's sides. They said, yeah, we were college roommates, and it was this curiosity and our love of music, but wondering, why can't you make music in the air? Why isn't there a depth to it? Why isn't there this cool technological layer to it that also adds this human layer to it at the same time? And also kind of thinks about song and music across the time, starting with those tribal drums. And this, each individual in this universe was having its own awakening. And again, then it became another small bang going forth. Now, at the same time, Ray and Mike kind of started to notice that the world they were in was drifting away. And my narration was kind of becoming more focused. And then soon they saw that I was standing there with them. And we're actually caught in a real rainstorm, kind of standing, well, the baked Alaska was washing away from them. I said, come on, let's go back inside. And I said, believe it or not, this bed and breakfast has a hot cocoa cabin. It just are having hot cocoa, which is like it has a fireplace too. And we went in there and we sat down by the fire and they recounted their tale to me, even, you know, like in their own eyes, in their own experience. And they said, we've always thought about like changing what singularity could be, making it a positive thing. And I said, see, this is what kind of, you see the kind of level of team building I accidentally inspired. I'm so proud of the two of you. So inspired by the two of you. You know, they needed to drag you to an alternative universe. But I said, you two really are heroes. Like in this world, you might just feel like you're hustling and creating and your journey's starting out. But in other timelines, you're heroes. So I want you two to keep at it, keep up the amazing work. And I want everybody else to check out Viserium or go see them when they're on tour and have your own awakening or start your own thing, creating your own thing. Thank you. And also, I said, sorry about that. I thought we were just going to go into the transverse plane. I didn't realize we'd be going to layers of alternative timelines, but I said they had fallen. I said, thanks and good night, guys. All right, I want to thank everybody who recently became a patron. Lucy, Susan, and Claire, thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Danielle, Adam, and Juniper, thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Clayton, Justice, and Jennifer, thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Heather, Cassidy, and Jamie, thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Sarah, Amelia, and Alice, thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Anne, Francois, and Laura, thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Jennifer, Jillian, and William, thanks, thanks, and good night. Alan, Laura, and Mark, thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Lynn, Oife, and Lola, thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Christine, Danielle, and Brent, thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Lee, Marina, and Daniel, thanks, thanks, and good night. Gail, Sylvia, and Leah, thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Anthony, Harriet, and Wendy, thanks, thanks, and good night. Simon, Alice, and Ian, thanks, thanks, and good night. Kalinin, Anna, and Emmy, thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. John, Alice, and Anna, thanks, thanks, and good night. Emily, Michelle, and Christina with a Y, thanks, thanks, and good night. Kelly with an I, Amanda and Margaret, thanks, thanks, and good night. Allison, Jean, and Peter, thank you, thanks, and good night. Christina, Tori, and Ashley, thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Sue, Christine, and Katarina, thanks, thanks, and good night. Trevor, Sandre, and Kate, thanks, thanks, and good night. Lisa, PD, and Katrina, thanks, thanks, and good night. Misty, Jennifer, and Carol, thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Dean, Laura, and Misha, thank you, thanks, thanks, good night. Ryan, Melanie, and August, thanks, thanks, and good night. Beth, Don, and Laura, thanks, thanks, and good night. Troy, Shiloh, and Claire, thank you, thanks, thanks, good night. Tomas, Zach, and Sam, thanks, thanks, good night. Tara, Claire, and Akira, thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Sleep With Me is a listener-supported show. I want to thank all the listeners that I just listed that directly support the show and the people that directly support the sponsors over at sleepwithmepodcast.com/sponsors. That's how we keep the show going. Thank you so much for that. Sleep With Me also grows by people that spread the word. So if you know, that's a really powerful thing you have, is just sharing your natural experience with the show. If you're listening and for some reason you don't like the show doesn't work for you, you're in the beyond not appreciating it, you could go to sleepwithmepodcast.com/no thank you. We're a proud member of Night Vale Presents. You can check out all the amazing shows they make over at Night Vale Presents, including I Only Listen to the Mountain Goats, which takes Joseph Fink from Welcome to Night Vale and Alice Isn't Dead. And he's in conversation with one of his artistic heroes, John Darnielle, the singer and songwriter of the Mountain Goats. And when you hear this, I'm not sure if season two will be out, but season one explores the stories behind the Mountain Goats album, All Hail West Texas, and they have interviews, they talk about storytelling, songwriting, it's just a beautiful show, it covers everything, and you can find that, I Only Listen to the Mountain Goats, in your podcast app choice. We're also a proud member of PRX, you can see everything they're doing over at prx.org. And that's it. Plenty of other episodes ready to go. I'm here. You know, I got plenty of backup if you need it. I'm here to keep you company. Good night. All right, everybody. This is Scooter. This is Weeks in Review. And this is where I run through my Weeks in Review stuff. What was on Sleep With Me Plus in the past month. And what you can expect to see on... in the public feed too. Now I have, if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, or you're already signed up for Sleep With Me Plus, I highly recommend using a podcast app that allows search within the feeds, but using just one podcast app for Sleep With Me Plus content only, and then keeping your other podcasts, your daytime podcasts, in whatever app you use now. And I would just check out a couple podcast apps you could choose from. On Apple are Overcasts, iCatcher, Pocket Casts. And on Android, you could try out Pocket Casts or Podcast Addict. For this example, I have the only thing I have in my app is the Boyfriends level. I have four podcasts, the ad-free full episodes, the story-only episodes. Nothing in Sleep With Me Plus has ads except for the really old episodes in the archives. We got the story-only versions of the show, the all-intro, all-night versions of the show, and then the bonus episodes. So let's start with the bonus episodes, actually. So Saturday, a new Posty episode came out. It was one that Russell loved, and... that came out, and that's in the bonus feed. You know, some people like listening to the Posty Super Deluxe episodes during the day. Some people sleep to them. And, so that one is in the bonus feed. And then looks like we got a bonus coming out for Boar Besties and Boar Friends on Thursday of this week, which is April 15th when I'm recording this. And then we have another Posty Super Deluxe came out a couple weeks ago. That was a picnic lunch with Scooter. And that's in the bonus feed. And that makes just so much easier for those of you that don't like automate your playlist or anything, just to kind of build and choose how you want to listen. Let's pop into all intro, all night episodes. I know an all intro episode is coming out this Thursday. Last Thursday was Make Great Pets season one, part two, almost 6 hours. It's about the max length we can get and have a good file size. So that was like seven episodes of Make Great Pets. April 3rd, all intro episode came out. And then we had... March is at bonus episodes. So there was another all intro episode. So that's in the all intro all night feed. And again, like so much easier, like these all intros. Is that what everything that's in there? 277 episodes split between all. So if you love all intros, I bet 200 of those are all intros, maybe even more. And then in the store, both in the story only episode feed and then in the all ad free feed. Let's run through the new episodes. Bring It On week started last week. So we had 12:54 was our first watch along where I watched half of the movie Bring It On. Wednesday was 12:53, Ben Broughton, the Crayon Rambler. That was one of those episodes that had an intro that I said I should make an episode based on this intro. Went to make an episode based on the intro, and it went in an even another direction of what if there was an RPG game based on the movie Bring It On, which led me to figure out I never watched Bring It On. Let me learn more. Then I ended up watching Bring It On. Then April 7th was Alba Sabelik's, like we're getting ready, big announcement. If I haven't made it anywhere, we're going to do three seasons of a crossover with Alba Salix. So that's cool. So that's something we're looking forward to doing. And that was episode one of that. Or that was the one we did originally. Then 12:52 was the finale of the Great British Bake Off, and episode 10. Then Multiplex 5, Tiki Transistor Hut. That was a good one. 12:50, one of my favorite episodes, probably in the past few years, a Willy Wonka tour that came out of like some news articles about the experience. And I said, this has got to be an episode. And that will be a series. I mean, like a recurring thing. Then Great British Bake Off, episode 9, Patissier. And Multiplex episode 4, and then we're back to our last audio news. So it's everything. And again, if you ever need support, support@supercast.com is there to help you. Though if you're listening to this episode, I'm assuming you're not like you don't need support. But if you do, and the other thing is like, yeah, these this is my main way to communicate. I learned this on Patreon. Most people just don't read their emails from Supercast or from me, and most people aren't on our Discord or follow our social media. And so these messages are how the majority of supporters get their information. I do it in a sleepy voice because there's like, I put it in at the end of the free show too. But this is a kind of key way, but these episodes are easy to skip, especially if you're just using one podcast app, right, and building your playlists from that podcast app. So, yeah, thanks, everybody, for supporting the show. Reach out if you have any feedback. feedback@sleepwithmepodcast.com. If you need support at supercast.com. And good night.